The thing about residential architecture is, like I say, it's so tailored individually that it's awfully difficult to make any money by the time you specify and tie down everything that you want to be have tied down. And I realize this, that you're working for one client, one small client, who has a house and a need and a function, the way he lives and how he's going to live in the future and so on. So, but you got a lot of planning to do.
Mm-hmm.
Once you do this and specify and make these drawings, you know, the whole concept could be out of date.
Yes.
And I'm sure things like computer or air conditioning or all that changes a whole concept of thinking that you don't even anticipate until you have it. Now, I always wanted to get away from this kind of small thinking,
mm-hmm.
that there would be a bigger motivating force, whatever that be, and that's what I wanted to find out. And from that viewpoint, I wanted to work in on a bigger scale, commercial scale.
Right.
And in Raleigh, I was beginning to get there.
Mm-hmm.
I soon got projects other than residences. Greg Poole Equipment Company. The doctor's clinic building in Greenville.
Yeah.
That was a nice one too. Maybe a group of about 7-8 doctors got together,
mm-hmm.
and wanted to have a kind of a free clinic area, office area,
right,
where patients could come and visit. They had their own laboratory, they had their own pharmacy, plus doctor's office space for maybe about 7-8 doctors, and they could expand to something a little bigger than that,
mm-hmm.
with their own parking and all that. That was a fun project.
Mm.
Fun in the sense that I've never handled anything like that before.
Not a lot of courtyard spaces, as I recall.
That's right, courtyard, and everyone, you had a main entrance.
Yeah.
And you went, if you're colored, you went one way. If you're white, you went the other way.
Is that right? Yeah.
That was still the law then.
Yeah.
Still the law.
Hmm.
And that was, and then, you know, in the back you met.
Yeah.
Treatment room, consultation room, all of that was the same once you got in the back. So the plan had to be quite tricky to do this.
Sure.
And I enjoyed doing that. I enjoyed working on that project.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what happened to it now. It's at Greenville. That's over 50 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm sure things have changed.
Yeah.
We had air conditioning then for all of these, individually needed and so on. But if each one wanted to expand or double, it was going to be a problem.
Yeah.
It was. They'd have to move out, get a bigger space, or find more space.
Mm-hmm.
And along comes IBM, which is kind of a nice feather in the cap.
Sure.
They were doing avant-garde design work, and they asked if I would want to do one. I sure did. And I did two buildings for them. I don't know which came first. I think the first one was
the one on Hillsborough Street.
Yeah. The is it Women's League? Women's League of North Carolina, or
uh-huh.
some women's group bought the building.
Oh yeah.
And they just remodeled. They did some interior work and some things that I'm not too happy with. But
yeah.
I hate to put it on record. No small as soon as change on it. So that was a nice project.
It's a handsome building.
Well, it's simple. There I wanted to have a building that felt modern, that could expand, that could change, that could be flexible enough to change. So the idea was fairly simple. Keep the toilets and stuff like that in the corners on the side of the building. But when they remodeled, they put it right in the middle. They did strange things because it just sits right in the middle and kills all the future flexibility. But I don't know. This is another approach I can't change.
So in a lot of your buildings, the core was really well established in the building, and then you had flexibility around that core.
That's what you want. That's right. When you want the areas which are freedom and easy to change. And other areas where it's permanent. And in a building, anytime you have plumbing in there, plumbing or heating, air conditioning, stuff like that moving around, or stairway as well, they're permanent elevators. You don't change that every time you do a remodeling job. They stay. In fact, my daughter in New York bought a loft space. It's a floor number six of a 11 or 12 story building. She has the entire floor, about 4,000 feet. Now, they're permanent things like the stair. Stair goes up and down. Elevators goes up and down. No matter what you do, you're not going to change that. And then the plumbing stack, that's another thing to you. Toilets are located way off in the corner. And how do you make a floor plan out of this, you know? but we did. We ran the kitchen pipe maybe a foot and a half off the floor. And it's against the wall, and it runs the whole length of the, not the whole length, two-thirds the length of the building. About 130 feet of pipes that go all the way down. But we had enough slope in it to get the water out without pumping it. And once we solved that, the rest of the thing didn't fall into place completely, but it was possible to make it work. The toilets are all concentrated in that one corner because you got the plumbing going one way and then the vent. That has to go all the way up.
It's got to go at the top.
So there are certain things like that that are permanent that has to stay, and you like to isolate those and or group them together and free up as much space as possible. The rest. That's one thing. That's whether you're doing a small building or a big building, for now or for the future, it's the same. It's always going to be there. So that's one motivating factor that's prevalent in all architecture. Yeah, I feel that very strongly. Now, what else are we talking about?
Tell me about the engineering building out here in California.
That came around awfully slowly. I did, when I first came back, I came back in 60, and in 71, 72, somewhere around there, I got my first major commission from the university. It was the School of Nursing.
At Berkeley.
That's San Francisco. San Francisco School of Nursing building. And that was interesting because it was Mount Sutro. It's right at the base of Mount Sutro.
Oh, really?
And what is it, level? I think it's about six or seven stories high. It has to hold back Mount Sutro for about half the height of that building, five stories high. It's plowed into the ground.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we have a network. I guess that's more interesting than the structure itself, but the tieback system is a foundation wall of a grid.
Uh-huh.
It's a grid that's poured against the mountain, and 4 or 5 stories high.
Oh, gosh.
At the high point. Huh. And then it comes down to zero down here. But it goes up, 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 and then up, up, down, down, down. So it plows into that ground.
Yeah.
The delivery for service is on the 5th floor.
Mm-hmm.
And the elevator goes up to there.
Yeah, yeah.
Now the tieback system, and this is earthquake country. You know,
sure.
And it's going to, in an earthquake, the tieback system could break the building.
Hmm.
Anyway, we got this grid going. We tied we cut excavate and have this grid retaining system, and to keep it from falling backward inwardly, we drill, I think it was a 6-inch hole, 6-inch diameter hole, or 8-inch, I don't know. I don't recall it. Dames and Moore, the engineer, and we worked it out. You drill this hole all the way through this at each intersection of these grids.
At the grid points.
Yeah. And the depths of those are varies to retain the whole earth.
Yeah.
When it shakes like this and the earth hits it, the tieback system has to hold it back.
Yeah.
And this hole is dug way out there and then poured concrete.
Oh my gosh.
So the cable holds it down. And that's the whole system. So we have an excavation that's V-shape or angle shape.
I see.
Into the ground. 5 stories high.
Gosh.
Isn't that amazing?
That's fascinating.
And to cover that, I've got a outdoor stair cantilevered out that. Cantilevers from the building itself. The building is maybe 5 feet away from the tieback system.
Yeah.
And the thing is just cantilevered out the stairs. And it covers the gap between the tieback system and the...
I see.
Yeah.
Does that gap bring light into the backside of the building? Or
no. It's not used for lighting at all.
I see.
That was... That's there mostly to hold the earth and to cover that. We just have the stair on one side. What do we have on the other side now? I guess it slopes down fast enough to not have it. I don't recall having it. Yeah. So that's it. And the floor itself was such that we have the elevator shaft, the stairs, the toilets, are all in a block core. And then we have a space. Each floor is columnless.
Oh, really?
Yeah, from wall to wall, it's a single span.
That goes back to that idea of flexibility.
Yes.
Yeah.
The whole floor is, well, we're programming the thing back in 1970, found out that this was not the site for school nursing, that they'll have to move and something else is going to move.
Oh, really?
There. So it's going to be a different building. So the idea of creating that space was very necessary.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then the beams that tied, yeah. The columns are tied together with beams going across. And the beams were... that tie the column together are hollows in there that runs the pipes.
Oh, the ductwork? Conduits?
Not ductwork so much, but conduits. Yeah. And the, yeah, you had utility shafts that were on the peripheral.
It's a real integrated system you've got.
Yeah, that was the concept of that. And the good part about a building like that is that you do contribute some thinking along how buildings might be designed for this kind of situation.
Yeah.
And it's still there.
It is, yeah. Still well used.
Yeah, still well used. Mm-hmm. And
Well, we had a chance to go out yesterday to one of your other buildings, and this one was on Berkeley's
campus.
Yes,
that was Engineering Center.
Yeah.
Now, that's that came about in the 80s, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's a period of about 7-8 years, or maybe 10 years,
yeah,
between the School of Nursing and the Engineering Center.
No kidding.
And I got the Engineering Center to do, and that was a son of a gun of a project. See, Cal is running out of space.
Yeah.
And the Engineering Center was a project. Basically, it's a library.
Mm-hmm.
They took all the library, departmental libraries, from civil engineering, structural, mechanical, electrical, all the different engineering disciplines, Hall's engineering. They lost their library and they consolidated it into this engineering center,
mm-hmm,
which is the center for engineering students. But at the same time, it's also this library, big library. And the Dean Bowker of the university, selected the site. So it goes right here. impossible site.
Oh, really?
It's a courtyard. It's an
mm-hmm,
empty courtyard surrounded by four major buildings on all four sides.
Yeah.
Big multi-story thing. You know, Davis Hall on the north side.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
South side is Evans Hall. That must be, 12, 13 stories?
Yeah, yeah.
On the west side is McLaughlin Hall. And what's the other? Hearst Mining Engineering Building,
mm-hmm,
is on the east side.
Right.
And it forms this courtyard. And he wanted a building there. So why there? So he said, well, it's right in the middle of engineering disciplines, all the engineering buildings around there. And that's a logical place for students to gather, for books to be available, and so on. Well, there's some sense to that, but, gee, you kill the whole space.
Yeah.
There's nothing to do with the aesthetics of that space. And so I had nothing. Well, the only thing I could do to it was bury it.
Yeah, which you did.
We did, yeah. We took a story and a half, a big, big library, and buried it.
Mm-hmm.
And we got the required area for the library. It was big enough. I don't know what it is. 150 by 200 or some area.
Right.
But it still wasn't comfortable because it's rigid.
Mm-hmm.
If the library had to expand, how do you dig away? You can't dig away because there are buildings. There's other buildings around there. So it was a trap. But then it dawned on me that we could make this story and a half in there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we did. We dug it down deep enough. I think it's, 16? No, it's more than that, 20 feet.
20 feet?
Maybe it's a little more than that.
Hmm.
Let's say it's 20 feet deep. And you enter at maybe 5 feet. They have to go down 5 feet. And you can put a mezzanine in there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we had planned on doing for the expansion. Mezzanine, I could get about 7,000 square foot mezzanine there.
Right, right.
Maybe a little more than that, 7,000, 8,000. But you know, we got that mezzanine so cheap, we built it.
Oh, really?
This is future expansion.
Yeah, yeah.
But how are we going to build a mezzanine? So the cheapest way was to get good sturdy stacks.
Mm-hmm.
Book stacks are, four and a half feet on centers.
Yeah, they're very tight.
4.5 feet on centers. And they're solid, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And all we needed was something to, what you tied together with the floor, on the mezzanine floor. Then you had the whole mezzanine built.
Mm.
And it was so small increase in cost that they funded it. They voted and raised money again, and It's all designed by, built by donated money.
I see.
There isn't a single state fund.
Oh, no kidding.
Involved, yeah, right. Huh. None at all. So Stephen Bechtel was one of the big contributors, why it's called.
That's
Bechtel Engineering Center.
Yeah.
Gabarini, Trefethen, a lot of successful engineers around here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they all contributed.
I see.
But we built that building. It's got a big auditorium, 300 some odd seating.
Planted roof?
Yeah, we have a roof garden. That's right. After we buried the library, the top is just sod again.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's as it was. You know, you can just come right off of Hearst Mining,
yeah,
walk right onto the thing down to Davis Hall. So we didn't hurt the thing. We have the space. But, you know, when you do a roof garden like that, you want to know you're on the roof.
Yeah.
You want to know that it's artificially. So we had to think in those terms. And then there's some token buildings that come up for air.
Mm-hmm.
The student offices, for instance,
right,
for different activities. And they're pushed against Davis Hall on the
mm-hmm.
north side, and which is all right because they had a balcony that came out to that level.
Yeah.
And so you step off and down to the balcony to the roof of these offices. And then these offices then open out to the roof of the engineering center.
Yeah.
And the engineering center is below that, a story and a half.
Yeah.
But it's kind of an interesting section.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's as much landscape, I guess, as it is architecture. Above
it
the
is.
Grade.
A lot of landscape.
Yeah. I think that's, to me, what ties it together with some of your early houses, too.
Yeah.
I mean, just this care that you take between structure and
the
site.
You look at it this way. Landscape architecture, what it is, it's architecture. You design a good building architecturally,
mm-hmm.
part of which is covered with plants.
Right.
And that part is called, somebody calls it landscape architecture.
Right.
But that's the way I think I like to look at landscape architecture. It's part of architecture.
Right.
It is part, and you conceive it at the same time almost.
Hmm.
And I think Royston shared that philosophy.
He's the landscape architect?
Yeah, he was the landscape on this, that we worked very closely together and fished together.
More importantly.
Yeah.
Well, tell me, you know, now that you've had a few years here, how you wound your practice down here in California and what you do to pass the time other than talking to random strangers who want to speak to you about your work. What are you doing these days?
Vegetating, growing old. And
still a lot of energy, though.
I have less than I think I have.
Yeah. And so you spend a lot of time with your friends, as I found out today.
Yeah, they're very nice.
Lunch crew.
Well. So that's how I got the engineering center. They don't give you repeat projects here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you do one, and maybe a long while later you might get one. But
yeah.
I couldn't live that long.
Yeah.
I did that engineering center. I enjoyed doing it. It's successful in some ways.
Oh, many ways.
In other ways, it's. I wish it was a little lower yet.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Even more anonymous.
Well, I've got a big auditorium there.
Yeah, yeah.
And that had to have some high ceilings, so that's why that, you know where the food service is?
Yeah.
That's raised, too.
I see.
Yeah. It has a higher ceiling for the auditorium there.
Yeah.
Underneath that. It's not as high as the rest of it, which is the student offices and I'm going to have the light wells going down.
Yeah, the light wells carry the light deeper. Yeah. What about the, you did a Buddhist temples?
And yeah, things? Yeah, yeah. That's in the mountains.
Yeah.
And that might be just a thing. Whoops. Okay. It again has several functions going on. First thing they wanted was a gymnasium,
mm-hmm.
where they could have their annual food bazaar, where they have their meeting, where they could play basketball, have their tournaments,
mm-hmm.
Also used as a stage. So there's a multi-function there.
Yeah.
They also needed a temple, which is the whole function of the thing.
Right.
They needed classrooms where they wanted to teach, follow up on Buddha's teaching.
Mm-hmm. Whole community of buildings, it sounds.
Yes. Yeah. Now they have all kinds of different programs. And each one you kind of lay it out to see how much space it needs and how much space they have.
Yeah.
And it's an equation of how you want to divide up the lot. You always want to leave a big space for them to see. When they have this food bazaar, they'll have it in about a month time.
Mm.
It only happens for a weekend, but they got cars by the hundreds, you know.
Oh, wow.
They've got to park them somewhere. So you need a big parking space, which is part of the baseball field.
Yeah.
So all this is kind of a complex that gets laid out. And each one then has its chance of it expanding.
I see.
You start out with a couple of classrooms, but you could add a few more if you want to, or not.
What was the construction technique there? What was the structure like?
It's all wood frame, mostly wood frame.
It's pretty large framing.
Yeah, too. It is. But we're in wood country.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was kind of an interesting project. And then one of the difficulties of the whole thing is that they have this big Buddhist altar,
mm.
which is very ornate
mm-hmm.
and fixed. And once you don't move that.
No.
And that's kind of an interesting thing because they have a small congregation, maybe 200-300. Now, when they have funerals, they may get up to 700-800.
Mm.
Just expand tremendously. Because they're people who live there in that area, Mountain View, Los Gatos, Los Altos, Santa Clara, Palo Alto, they all live around there, and there are a lot of people that come.
Yeah, yeah.
So the funerals could be very big.
Mm-hmm.
And you wanted that to be able to be accommodated somehow.
Right, right.
Gracefully, without feeling like a peanut pod when you don't have that many people.
Yeah.
So we designed something that's very comfortable for maybe 300-400 people, which is for the congregation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the main temple. And then you have this back wall. The back wall just slides open.
Right.
Completely open. And then you have the entry lobby.
Mm-hmm.
Entry in the lobby. And the parlor in the church, which is raised.
Right.
So that you can see from the raised side over the lobby to the congregation to the altar.
Mm.
So you can get up to 700-800 people in there.
Mm.
So that was one project of defining what that project was going to be. Now we don't notice this as expanding too much.
Yeah.
The congregation is fairly static. They get older and they grow and they'll move into a different community.
Right.
And this is where the growth seems to be, not there in Mountain View. They don't stay there. Those that do contribute to it. And then where the hell is the kitchen? There's a kitchen in there somewhere, a big one.
Hmm.
Big kitchen for the food bazaar.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They have their annual fundraising that way. The classroom, we just add classroom as they come in this party already. The gymnasium is nice. I like for you to see that sometime.
Oh, I'd love to see it.
Well, there's one here. I also did one here in Oakland.
Oh, really? Is it the school or another?
No, that's Park and Recreation.
Oh, yeah.
Oakland Park and Recreation. I did the... hey, Kenny.
Brookfield.
Brookfield, thank you. Brookfield Park and Recreation. I guess it's the gymnasium and stuff.
Oh, yeah, playing areas and things like that.
Yeah, and that's kind of interesting because, you know, I found that you could take the gymnasium has seating for maybe 200-300.
Mm-hmm.
You come into the lobby, and there's a big lounge area, and then you flow into the seating area.
Right.
And it flows down, and you play basketball here.
Mm-hmm.
And the stage then has to be on the other side.
Right.
So that you're focused on the place where people are sitting.
Becomes a real sectional problem.
Yeah, yeah. And that was kind of what I did at both the Mountain View Temple and the gymnasium at Brookfield.
Yeah.
And that meant now that the gym, playing the locker rooms and all, had to be on the opposite side, along with the stage, so that you could use it as a dressing room for the stage,
right? Right.
As well as locker rooms for the changing of the basketball players or the gymnasts.
I see.
And then we have another area set aside for machines, gyms, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Mountain View is a little different because they have a lot more meetings and a lot more club meetings and need for the kitchen. So,
right,
so,
right.
So we have a kitchen worked into this scheme along with dining rooms.
I see.
And they have an outdoor barbecue and all that.
Oh, that's nice.
Which is immense, immense barbecue, you know. I don't know. They must use charcoal by the bag load. They do. You know, yeah, there's a big, big pit of charcoal going. And, gee, they got nice chicken and ribs and stuff that they cook there. It's nice to go once in a while.
Yeah. And that's close by here to your house?
Well, that's in Mountain View.
Yeah.
That's down south.
Mm.
You cross the San Mateo Bridge.
Oh, I see.
Or the one after that.
I see.
But the one in Oakland right here, we could take a look tomorrow if we have time.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah.
I hope it's open. I guess it is.
Yeah.
It's summer.
It should be.
Yeah, that was kind of a complex I did with the... Branks Library, the gymnasium, and the play field for the kids, and the senior center.
Mm, all in one?
Yeah. Well, it's a separate building.
Though. Right, right.
Yeah, I pulled it apart, but we did it at the same time.
So you've worked on a lot of different building types.
Well, it's kind of fun.
Yeah.
And I enjoy that. And I don't really do enough of it, or often enough to refine it. But there's some merit in thinking it through. But I just like to see what's happening. Some of this is interesting because 50 years, pretty long time, and you got to. There's a test of time, which is a valid editor. Of any art form, is that it has to survive and be useful for that time. And I hope these buildings are.
Well, I think many are. The ones I know in Raleigh have stood the test of time.
Well.
Being well loved.
Yeah, they're,
well,
they're 50 years. So.
Yeah, they were out.
But function changes.
It does, yeah.
Yeah. Well, is that all right?
That's great.
Yeah, we could... Pick it up tomorrow.
Let's do it. Yeah. Thank you.
All right.